Joining us this afternoon is Cynthia Copeland, an author of over 25 books, but the latest endeavor is one that touches just about anyone who's ever had a canine in their lives. The book is called Really Important Stuff My Dog Has Taught Me. Cynthia, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much for having me on.
What a wonderful, wonderful book that you've created.
Oh, thank you so much. I have to say, when I finally got a copy in my hands recently, I was really pretty delighted with the way it looks. I think the combination of the photos and the quotes and the stories really comes together in a really nice kind of heartwarming package.
It truly is, and it's one of those books that I heartily recommend as a gift for the holidays.
I know. I think people will find it makes a nice gift. It's interesting to think about things that we can learn from our dogs, because I think so many books talk about how to teach your dog to do things, to sit, to stay, to roll over. And in this case, we're saying, you know, what the dogs can teach us is actually of greater value. If we just can kind of observe them, we'll learn a lot from them.
How did you come across the concept of this book? I know that you've written a couple of other ones, and we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But this particular one, you've treated the canine as a four-legged philosopher.
Right. Well, this year is actually the 20th anniversary of a book I wrote called Really Important Stuff My Kids Have Taught Me. And I was recently flipping through the pages of that, feeling a little nostalgic. My kids are all grown now in their 20s. And I stopped at a page that said something like, if your dog doesn't like someone, you probably shouldn't either. And I thought, you know, the same reason that make kids so wise in many ways also make dogs wise, in that they look at life in a very simple, pure, genuine, kind of uncluttered way. And I thought, you know, this would be a great sequel to that book 20 years later to put out a book, Really Important Stuff My Dog Has Taught Me, because we had a terrific dog named Bear that we adopted from a shelter when he was a puppy, and he lived to be almost 18 years old. And he, you know, when I look back on the time he spent with our family, and he was, you know, with my kids the whole time they grew up, I can think of all the ways in which he kind of guided us and showed us the way. And I thought that would be a great concept for a book.
One of the things in your book that you teach over and over again is how loyalty plays a large role in a dog's life. You never see that much in a cat, although cat people will say, oh, yeah, my cat's loyal. Really?
Yeah. I have a cat, too, and I wouldn't say loyalty tops the list. I mean, she's very sweet and fuzzy, but I'm not sure how loyal she is. But you're right. When I was looking for stories to include in the book, I came across so many amazing stories of that loyalty. One of my favorites was Salty, the guide dog. You may have even heard this story, who helped his blind owner navigate 70 flights of stairs at the World Trade Center on 9/11, despite the fact that his owner actually unclipped his leash and ordered him to go because he thought once the towers were hit, he was going to die, and he wanted to save his dog. And despite the intense heat, the panic, the chaos, the dog refused to leave his side, and it took him over an hour to get his owner down all those stairs and out the door, and the building collapsed just after they stepped out. But I think of how that dog had to override, his instincts, his natural instincts to run, and instead stayed with his owner out of, like you say, love and loyalty, and that just amazes me.
It amazes me, too. And there's another one in here that actually got played out in an animation series called Futurama. And the piece is called Be True to the End. It's about Professor Hidesaru Ueno.
Yes, yes, yes. That's one of the stories at the very end of the book. And it's so moving because I think it was about 1925 and in Japan. And, yes, this dog belonged to a college professor. And every day at 4 o'clock, he would go to the train station and, you know, to greet his owner, and they'd walk back home together. And one day his owner had a heart attack or stroke at work and died and never, you know, came home on the train. And the dog still went, and every day at 4 o'clock for the next 10 years went at 4 o'clock to the train station in the hopes of seeing his owner get off the train. And in fact, the station master ended up, you know, putting out a bed and food and water for the dog because he was there so much. And then there was a statue erected to commemorate his loyalty, and he still, in Japan, remains a symbol of loyalty.
And see, that's the beautiful part about this entire endeavor that you've put out there called Really Important Stuff My Dog Has Taught Me. If we humans would only pay attention to our canine friends, I think we would have a much gentler world, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely, and a more pleasant one as well. I think, you know, one of my favorite things that I think dogs teach us is being grateful and appreciative and for what we have. I mean, for a dog, a trip to the dump is every bit as exciting as a trip to the Grand Canyon, you know, and they're not burdened by what could be, and so they're really able to enjoy what is. And if we could just be more like that, I mean, if we could learn to bask in a sliver of sunshine, that's one of the quotes in that chapter. I mean, a dog doesn't need to lie on the beach in the Caribbean. A dog can find that little sliver of sunshine peeking between the curtains, you know, that's making its way across the floor and lie in that little sliver. And to a dog, that's wonderful. That's fantastic.
You know, I learned that from my dog. I have a 16-year-old Fox Terrier mix. Her name is Zena.
Oh.
And back in the day, when I had a car, we would go to a goat farm that's just outside of the city. And she would love to just sit there and talk to the goats, and the goats would come over to the fence, and they would have a conversation. And I learned so much from her from that because it was so, for her, exciting.
Right, right. And the fact that dogs can not only bond with people, but they really can bond with other animals. One of the stories in the book is about a dog, Blakely, who actually works, I believe, at the Cincinnati Zoo, helping in the animal nursery, helping with other baby animals that are not dogs, you know, and that's kind of amazing, the fact that they can cross over and bond so closely with other animals. I mean, it's really astounding.
One of the books that you wrote is one that captured the attention of a friend of mine, and it was called Good Riddance, an Illustrated Memoir of Divorce.
Yes, yes.
Did a canine help you through that as well?
You know, I will say there are many times when I buried my head in my dog and wept. So, yes, I have to say, absolutely. Dogs are always there for me no matter what. Thankfully, I'm happily remarried now. But, yes, I mean, my dog Bear was there through all of that, and he was just absolutely wonderful. He was also kind of a neighborhood dog. There was a little girl who for quite a long time was in a wheelchair across the street, and he became so attached to her that, in the evening, I would go to sort of put everybody to bed and check around, and I would have to go across the street and kind of lure him home from her bedside. And then in the morning, he would run right over back to her. I mean, actually research has shown that dogs have a really good idea as to who needs comforting, and they will go to those people. Even if the person's a stranger mm-hmm. or not as well known to them, they are drawn to people who need their comfort. And that was sort of backed up by science.
One of the best T-shirts that should be out there is one that's quoted in your book someplace along the line called Nap, Play, Eat, Repeat.
Yes. Wouldn't that be great? Because really, we do need more times of renewal during the course of a day, but we don't allow ourselves that. But dogs understand there's a time to rest and there's a time to run. And you don't have to feel guilty when you rest. It's okay. But we don't do that. We tend to push through really hard because we think we're supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. But a dog won't do that. If a dog is tired, he'll just lie down and take a nap. We need to do that a little bit more frequently.
I think so, too. I think we really need to just rid ourselves of all of the complications we've created. There's that whole thing about that you quote, too. There's no such thing as bad weather.
Right, right, absolutely. I mean, dogs they're just delighted to take a walk in anything. They're delighted to be outside, and the photo that goes with that aphorism is wonderful, the dog covered with snow and leaping around in the snow. And, you know, I think if you wait for that perfect 70-degree, sunny, cloudless day, you're not going to have very many great days in the course of a year. Mm-hmm. But for a dog, unless it's a hurricane, a dog's going to be out in the middle of any day and delighted to be outside.
Oh, we were so rainy this past week, and yet Zena wanted to go walk for an hour and a half, and so I did. So we came home soaking wet, but she loved it.
Right, and you know, and their enthusiasm is contagious, isn't it? So even though you probably didn't feel great as far as being soaking wet, somehow you do feel okay when you see how excited they are to be out in that. You know, it's okay. It becomes okay after that.
Absolutely. Cynthia, where can we pick up your book?
The book is available today, actually, anywhere, any bookstore and online at Amazon. It's available all over today.
I have to tell you, the photographers who've contributed to your endeavor is just absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. Everyone has done work.
Yes, I do love the photos. We were very, very careful to pick up for the photos that perfectly complemented the stories and the sayings, and I think we did a good job. And the photographers are fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, Cynthia Copeland, I know we're up against the clock, but thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to be able to sit down and talk to you for an entire half hour for another show. So keep in touch. Mi casa, su casa. Thank you so much for joining us on El Paso Primetime.
Thank you so much for having me.